Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. The Mark Reardon Show.
I hate people individually, but I love mankind.
Oh, you do?
The Mark Reardon Show.
I got into broadcasting because I like to give. Sometimes I find myself hurting from giving too much.
That's why I don't read the newspaper, because it's garbage.
The Mark Reardon Show is on now.
All right, good afternoon. As we get started here on a Friday Reardon Roundtable, this should be a good one. Not that they're all not outstanding. Jane Duker is sitting down, making herself comfortable. Hi, Jane, how are you?
I'm doing great. How's my puppy?
Well, he's doing great. You know, I even dabbled with bringing him in, but I'll explain a little bit later why I made the decision not to. We'll get into that. We could talk a little bit about the puppy in the 4 o'clock hour. Sue's not here today, so would welcome him into or her into the show. I was thinking about the puppy there. She's taking a little bike ride out of town today.
Cool.
Doing some stuff. She'll be back on Monday, but I wanted to let people know that. Former State Senator Jeff Smith is with us this afternoon. Hello, Jeff.
Hey, Mark. How you doing, bud?
I'm doing good. And Sean Flower, the mayor of Eureka, also with us in the studio for this roundtable. Hello, Mayor Flower. How are you?
Hello, Mark.
Let's just some breaking news, and we'll get into this a little bit later in the segment. Pam Bondi is actually on live right now doing a news conference, the Attorney General, and the DOJ has announced criminal charges against Kilmar Abrego Garcia. That is the Maryland father who was transported out of the country. He reportedly, and this is what you heard on Fox News here just a second ago, is heading back to the U.S. to face these charges. So we'll get into that when we talk about the Elon and the Trump craziness, all of that coming up. But I want to start with what's happening in Jeff City. And Jane, you can kind of, Jeff or Jane at this point, get us updated on where we are. I know Governor Kehoe was on this radio station this morning. Do we have a sense of where the bills are and how this is going to wrap up? I don't even know where we specifically are in the process right now.
I mean, the Senate passed a bill.
We're through the Senate,
yes.
And we'll go to the House next week. And
yes,
the Senate, conservatively speaking, is about 10 gazillion times harder,
yes,
than the House. So once you're through the Senate, you're probably not going to mess with it in the House, because if you change it in the House,
got to go back.
Then it's got to go back to the Senate, and it's kind of delicate over there because it was, you know, it's a weird compromise because they, at first, the Freedom Caucus guys on the right were very angry about it, hated the idea of a subsidy for a stadium, and the folks on the left didn't like the idea of a subsidy for the stadium and wanted way more money in disaster relief for the tornado. So to get the guys on the right on board, they did this broad-based property tax relief to get the, you know, the left wasn't really happy, but to get the Democrats on board a little bit, they increased the amount of money for tornado relief from $25 million to $125
million. Yeah, that's
million,
significant, right?
Which is,
yes,
significant.
And they also got some capital projects that died in session last, in May.
Exactly. So it's one of those things which is like, it's a pretty delicate,
yes,
compromise. And if you start pulling on the thread of that sweater, the whole thing might unravel. So I would be surprised if the House changes it. What do you think, James?
I agree. I mean, I think Speaker Patterson will probably, you know, he'll get this through for the governor. And, you know, it's like any other compromise. You know, there's a lot of people who are really unhappy. I did not get my golf cart. So I put that in as a capital project, and I was denied. So, I mean, there are a lot of people unhappy. And
the only thing Jane didn't get that she wanted,
I bet she got it.
This session.
Right, pretty much. Everything else I got. You're
police
right.
Control,
I had a good
one. Right.
Yeah.
But, so the process, let's back up just a little bit, because I think people get lost in what's happening here. We had a legislative session. I've always said, look, I wish those guys wouldn't be there very long at all. There are budget requirements, and, you know, they go through the motions on a lot of these bills. So they did not get all of the things that were supposed to get done in time. So then the governor makes a call for the special, right? And then he even changed
it
a couple of days
extraordinary.
Ago.
Special
okay,
session
is, it really?
Is when the legislators call themselves in.
Oh!
Extraordinary, technically. I mean,
okay,
everybody calls
okay.
it special.
I want to get it right.
When the governor makes the call, it's an extraordinary section. And it was extraordinary.
So when you say, because I was looking at some of the votes in the Senate, and I know that some of the Democrats were key players in the disaster relief. And by the way, you know, my concern on the 25 going to 100, I would support as much money as possible going to help people who genuinely need help. But the concern with something like this, I don't know if you have a perspective on this, Sean, as someone who runs the city, is how are we going to dole out that money?
Right.
And who's going to get the money? And are the right people going to get the money? Because you're talking about big numbers at this
point.
And
we've seen some programs go badly.
Yeah, I mean, it's always hard when you have a police department taken away from a whole area for lack of competency to run it, and then you're going to go dump another $100 million in for relief. So hopefully, I would imagine, I mean, I think Kehoe's pretty organized. And the way he administers, my experience with some of their programs down there is,
and they do have the ability,
to control it. So I think I trust him.
They have claws. They have,
and also like
processes.
Like at least the first $25 million specifically, and more of the rest could go in this direction, was allocated towards the housing trust fund, which would be administered by the Missouri Housing Development Commission,
okay.
which has a pretty standardized process. Already in place.
Yes.
They used it after Joplin in 2011 after the tornadoes hit there to expedite building of like multifamily affordable residential to get a lot of units up quickly. Joplin was an interesting case because unlike New Orleans, you know, which lost a huge percentage of its people after the hurricane, Joplin held its population because they rebuilt units pretty quickly.
And kept people.
And
that's
kept
significant.
People. And
got
the last thing St. Louis needs right now is to lose
fewer
more
people.
Population.
Right, exactly.
Well, and there are some people who do feel like giving up. I mean, because, you know, if you have a house that you inherited and it's paid off and you don't have insurance on it, because I think they said 70% of the of the affected houses
because
not have
if there's no mortgage, then there's no requirement to have the property
Absolutely.
Insurance, right?
Yeah. And so then, you know, here you are. And it's like, well, if I'm going to get money, and that's another thing they're going to have to look at is, you know, you don't want to give people money and then they move out of the city. I mean,
keeping track of it.
Jane brings a really smart point up, which is that a lot of this is my old Senate district door neighborhoods where I knocked on a ton of doors, and a lot of those homes are homes that have been in families for a few
generations,
you know, got paid off a long time ago, but honestly doesn't, you know, so no requirement to have insurance now. And for people who are struggling, it could kind of be seen as a luxury, you know, if you're trying to make sure you got food on the table. And so one of the problems from an insurance perspective, even those who are insured in a lot of these areas, the land is worth very little because it hasn't been a place that people have wanted to live. And so you might have a big old brick or stone home that would only be appraised at $35,000, but the replacement cost
a lot more than
would
that.
Be $300,000.
Yeah, $300,000. And so it just... the math doesn't work if you're an insurance, you know, so you get paid out $30,000, you can't rebuild, so you just figure out a place where you can go rent.
It is kind of classic politics, though, where you got a bunch of people saying, don't spend all this money, or I don't want to spend this money, and then the only way the thing passes is they all spend
more money
than they ever anticipated
when they
walked in.
Well, that was the big, beautiful bill. I mean, beautiful bill.
There's a lot of parallels, right?
Yes.
But let's focus on one aspect of it, because what's getting a lot of attention, and this is what some of this was about, was incentives for stadiums in Kansas City. So who would like to tackle explaining that and what in the end is happening with that? Because there's horse trading that goes on with this. The Senate vote was, I think, 19-13. A lot of the typical people who are on even this roundtable, like Nick Schroer, Mary Elizabeth Carpenter, they voted against it. Is it? Let me ask this before we get to the stadium. Is it one of those deals where the governor says, okay, we have the numbers to pass this. You guys can vote no because you kind of got to vote no.
They let some people off the hook.
Right,
yes.
Exactly. Because there was even a committee change here this week, wasn't there?
That's not quite how
okay,
it works.
You don't think it worked a little bit, though? Just a little bit that way?
It was people who wanted to vote no and were going to vote no and didn't need to be let off the hook to vote no.
Okay.
I mean,
no,
like,
but I mean, I think he knew he had the votes and said, okay, this is how many I can give, and I don't have to twist them, and I don't have to give them some, you know.
Yeah, but I think with, like, you know, Mary Elizabeth was a no from the start.
Yep.
Nick, you could kind of sense, was a no. If you watch Nick's social media, you know, and he's posting in advance.
But you're, just quickly, are you talking specifically about the stadium part of this?
I am.
Because
that's
all gets
worst.
Jumbled together, right?
Yes.
Because there are things I think that both of them and maybe other Republicans would support, but because that's attached, and by the way, Tracy McQuarrie voted against it, right?
Yep.
Yeah, one of the Democrats.
Some of the Democrats
and
were upset.
And Tracy is as philosophically consistent on this as anybody.
Yes.
Because when Jay Nixon tried this, you know, with the dome, Tracy was a hell no on that and actually ended up getting sued by constituents for something around that. I can't remember the exact situation, but she was one of the leading Democratic voices saying we should never be subsidizing billionaires.
I saw her quotes, and if you would take her name out of it and say who's saying this, you would have thought it was a Republican, right? You would have thought maybe it was Nick Shore.
And it's kind of a squirrely thing, but what it comes down to is there's going to be tax abatement. It's just really
so on the stadium stuff in particular, what are they giving Kansas City? And is it going to work, I guess the question would be, because the Royals want to move potentially across the state line over to Overland Park, right? And the Chiefs are asking, they want to demolish the current Kauffman Stadium, even though the Chiefs just went through renovations. I get it. This is what happens. And by the way, I think we all know the Cardinals are coming calling as well, right? So this goes round and round throughout the state.
It's sort of like a TIF. It's like, okay, there's going to be bonds to do new stuff. And then the revenue that would be generated, 50% of it. It's not like, you know, TIFs around here, it's usually 100%. This is like 50% of the taxes can be abated in any given year. But, I mean, the state's going to have to do an appropriation for 30 years. I mean, and they did that on the dome. And so, you know, the state is going to be doing its deal. And they'll look at the prior year and say, this is how much taxes this would have generated. We're going to abate 50% of them. And that's how you're
okay, but
pay
there are
the
a lot of people listening right now, and you know, you mentioned Senator McQuarrie and others say, wait, why are we doing this for billionaire owners of sports franchises and teams? Now, I want the Chiefs to stay in Missouri. It's funny because I think we all know this too. If you have friends that are not from this area, they'll think Kansas City, they think is in Kansas, right? They don't know it's in Missouri. A lot of people just don't know the geography. I think the same used to happen with East St. Louis. They thought it was part of St. Louis, not Illinois. But there are a lot of people out there listening right now and say, wait a second, I love the Chiefs. You know, their Royals were just here, but why should we give them this much tax money to stay in Missouri? Obviously, they also generate tax dollars, but is there a switch or a balancing act there?
It's going to be real numbers. They're going to have to prove the taxes that they would have generated. So it's not, luckily, I mean,
it's not a giveaway is what you're saying.
Well, it's not a giveaway. It's a tax abatement. It's no different than a tax credit or a TIF.
It's just an incentive. If you look at it and you say, we're competition with all these other places for those teams, and it's eventually, you know, eventually they've got to demonstrate they've got an offer, a better economic deal somewhere else. And then
I mean, do you
want
to be the governor when they both leave? I wouldn't. So
well,
I
mean, we've done them on local
doing.
Levels. I mean, at a city, I have the same argument. We just had one with like an Aldi store, and we had a real estate tax abatement. We had all the same arguments on a minor level with it. And you look at the dollars up versus the dollars in. But at the end of the day, I'm like, they've got competition. They can show we can do it. They want to be here. And you make a long-term look at it, and everybody's got different policy on it. But
it is hard to be, you mentioned philosophically consistent. It's difficult when you're the mayor of a city, or if you're looking at the big picture, you have to say, okay, you know, we got to go here a little bit and then balance it off. But that gets very confusing for people who are like, hey, hell no, we're not sending money over there to Kansas City.
Well, and I'm sure they felt that way about, you know, about us. I mean, the state financed the dome. Now, I will tell you, I worked on the stadium, on Busch Stadium, and we did not use a single state dollar for the stadium. We agreed that our portion of it would be like road improvements, things that would, you know, make it easier. That's how we split the hair. You know, he said, we're not building your stadium, but we'll build you an overpass. We'll do site stuff. We'll do stuff that's not related to the building of a stadium. But, you know, I mean, I'm sure the people in Kansas City didn't feel all too great about
subsidizing
us.
What is the, so if this Mark, goes back, go ahead.
But I'm just going to say, Sean did a really good job of framing what it's like to actually be a mayor dealing with this stuff. I think in an ideal world, whether you're talking about regional government, ideally, municipalities would have like a pact where it's like you don't do this to each other. You don't poach against each other. Ideally, states would all agree we're not going to get shook down, you know, shaken down by billionaire owners. The Hunts are worth $25 billion. So the amount that they'd be getting in state subsidy is really like pocket change to them, you know, a few hundred million. They wouldn't even notice it. So it is frustrating. I think as a taxpayer, to have to pay anything for something like this.
All right, hang tight. We got to take our first break here. It's the Reardon Roundtable on a Friday. We'll come back with more. We're going to talk about the sheriff in St. Louis buying nice vehicles and hiring lobbyists. We have Elon versus Trump, the big nasty divorce. A lot to come here on a Friday afternoon. Sue Thomas is off. She'll be back on Monday.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We got Jane Duker on the panel. She's going to hang out in the 4 o'clock hour and have a little fun with Paul Hall and entertainment. Ethan has Sue's news this afternoon since Sue is out. On the panel also, former State Senator Jeff Smith and the mayor of Eureka, Sean Flowers. So I know you guys, Jane and Jeff, probably have been busy with a lot of the special stuff. One more question, follow-up, before I get to Elon and Trump. So if it gets kicked back to the House, is there a timetable for this to be wrapped up? Would it be next week in all likelihood?
The special session is called for 2 weeks.
Okay.
So it needs to get done next week. But, you know, the difference between the Senate and the House is the Senate is typically totally uncertain because anybody can filibuster for as long as they want. The House, they can move as quickly as they want. And just, you know, they could do the whole thing very quickly. So I wouldn't worry about timing.
24 hours, speaking of the timing, 24 hours ago, it got nuts. And I'll just tell you, like, we're watching the Cardinals because I'm getting ready to come on the air. Annie wasn't even here, so the studio was kind of wide open. But we're out there watching the Cardinals come back against the Royals in the first game. Unfortunately, they did not fare as well in the second game. And I called my friend Chuck last night to give him credit because he texted me and showed me a screen capture. This is about 10 minutes to 3. I had missed all the craziness. Elon starts going nuts. Trump had gone nuts. thoughts on Truth Social. It goes back and forth, and it got nasty. I mean, let's talk about... Well, it got very personal, but here, you know what people believe? You guys know this because there's conspiracies. So I've already heard from a lot of people, either in person or on the X, formerly Twitter, that says, oh, this is just, you know, these guys know what they're doing. They're doing it on purpose. They're just giving Elon an opportunity to get better graces with the left. Well, look, he essentially referred, or at least inferred, that maybe Donald J. Trump is a pedophile. Now, we knew that he had trips with Epstein, but we don't know the specifics of that. But he also retweeted someone who said we should impeach Trump and put J.D. Vance in, you know, the presidency. So it was nasty. I don't think they're just messing around here. No, I don't think it's fake either. So this morning, Dana Bash on CNN, and I think he did this with Jonathan Carl as well, they talked to President Trump, and here's what they said.
Well, here's exactly what he said. Quote, I'm not even thinking about Elon. He's got a problem. The poor guy's got a problem. He said he won't be speaking to him for a while, but he said he wishes Elon Musk well. It was a short conversation. He didn't seem very exercised about it. And the interesting thing is, of course, the context of this is how many people who are in both men's orbits are trying to broker a peace deal, so to speak, and trying to get them to talk because of the concern about the fallout in so many directions.
So one of the things I said yesterday is I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall in the offices of both parties because, look, let's be honest, the Democrats, Sean, they've tried to use Elon in some of the things already in the previous week because he had said some things in Broken Bad on Doge. And then when this happens, you know, obviously I think they're pissed off because they want to spend more money, but they're going to use this to their political advantage. And one of the things that's interesting in this case, and I think I want your thoughts on this, Jeff and Jane and Sean, but usually when Trump does something, and I've never been a fan of the sophomoric behavior, he's usually punching down, right? He ain't punching down here, right? Elon's in a different world. So the dynamics are different. And I don't think that he's a guy you want to pick a fight with, and you've kind of picked a fight with him.
He could have done worse. I mean, we've seen him do worse. I was surprised at sort of his reticence.
You mean Trump?
Yeah.
Right. I mean, he has
been. But he figured out this guy owns Twitter.
He's been measured, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's been measured, and I don't know who sat on him, but somebody's sitting on him because I just, you know.
Yeah, I mean, there's no nickname.
Yeah, no nickname. No, like, you know, I mean, he called him a pedophile, and Trump has not
exactly, but certainly there was a strong inference there.
And
he said mark this tweet.
Yeah,
and right, and he said the files aren't
coming
out
because he's in them. And I mean, so I mean, Elon has like no F's to give. I mean, this guy, he has shown that he does not. He's, you know, so you never really want to, like, you know, have a brawl with a terrorist because these people, he doesn't care. Like, he genuinely doesn't care.
All right, Jeff, so the political, let's talk about your party and the political aspect of this, because I'm guessing the Sunday shows will be very interesting this week. And, you know, Chuck Schumer and the Democrat leaders, Hakeem Jeffries, will try to use this to their advantage on the big, beautiful bill. But this is a nasty, nasty divorce. I think when we knew that Elon was coming on board, a lot of people thought it wasn't going to end well, right? I don't think anyone thought it would end exactly like this, though.
Yeah, I loved that. I wish him well. That's what I always said about the guy who wore the wire on me. But look, I think Democrats are loving it. We haven't had a lot to be happy about for a little while here, right?
Yeah.
It's when Republicans have the trifecta, you're just waking up every day seeing, like, what am I going to be furious about today, right? Because it's, you know, something Trump does or says, and then Doge. But I think, you know, first of all, it's just kind of fun to watch them go back and forth like children, you know, on social media. More consequentially, Elon was the biggest donor to the Republican Party last cycle. And whenever you have a new, huge, you know, mega donor come onto the scene, everybody starts, you know, licking their lips. You know, am I going to be able to get a $30 million IE for my Senate race or for my gubernatorial race? And so you got a lot of Republican politicians today saying, like,
maybe this isn't a bridge we want to burn.
Yeah. And yeah, this is not smart. And Elon pointed out in a tweet, you know, Donald Trump's got 3.5 more years as president, but I'm going to be around for 40 plus more years. And so that's a lot of money to, you know, obviously he's a pretty mercurial guy. And he was a Democrat. I think he voted for Biden, he said, in 2020.
Yeah.
So who knows? He clearly, on some issues like immigration, especially the H-1B visas and some other more libertarian issues, agrees more with Democrats.
Right. But I think that his heart, I'm guessing here because things have gotten so crazy, but I do think that he is concerned about the future of the country. I have always been a fiscal conservative. Look at me right now, right? A fiscal conservative. That's how I started in politics with Ronald Reagan in the 1980s. And of course, the famous quote, government is not the problem. Government is not the solution. For sure, government is the problem. But we've never been able to get this out of control. And there are serious issues moving forward. But the other problem is, and you guys know this because you're all in this world, somebody said yesterday, Elon's stance is principled. And I think it is principled. Trump's stance is practical. And tech needs Republicans for the president. Republicans need tech for the future. But people still say, wait, how do you put this big, beautiful bill together and you spend all this money?
That's how you get it passed.
Well, I understand that. I understand that, but still.
And that is correct. It's practical versus...
Yes,
you know, this
versus
principle. And you know what? Democracy doesn't really favor.
But can you meet in the middle
on
that?
I'm going to push back a little
bit.
Okay,
sure, do it.
On the, I don't want to take as a given the premise that Elon's stance is principled. There's a lot of circumstantial evidence out there suggesting that maybe he was pretty angry about his chosen pick for NASA, with whom he has billions of dollars of contracts, getting pushed out.
Right.
And, not
and that was part of the tweet storm yesterday.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Maybe the EV tax credit.
Well, that's what Trump says.
Yeah, what Trump says. And look, the guy's got not just one business, but, five different, businesses that he's in charge of. And all of them in one way or another rely on government contracts or subsidies. And so, there may be other realms that aren't even privy to.
Fair enough.
He was told no, which soured him on the whole larger project.
But I believe that, hopefully I'm right about this. I'll never know. I believe Elon really is concerned about the fiscal insanity that this country has run into. Now, this is where you have to get honest. And unfortunately, people don't understand that in order really to get things under control, the interest on the debt alone is just crazy. You have to do something about Medicaid, Medicare, and, Social Security. Now, those are long-term fixes. Most of those things like Social Security wouldn't, any kind of serious discussion about that wouldn't affect people over the age of 50. But no one has the guts to get into that territory. So we can pick around the edges with discretionary spending. We can't really solve this problem until tough choices are made.
But I think the thing that strikes me, because I tend to lean more less away from, subsidies and that type of thing toward, I think he strikes, because I can identify it a little bit when you run a business and you're used to making decisions and you can turn on a dime and do things because you're the president of it or you're the major shareholder. And you get into politics or you watch how the bureaucracy and the government works, and it makes you want to throw up.
Yeah.
You get in there and you cannot believe how slow it is, how inefficient. So I think he did some pretty remarkable things, but you also look at it and go, who would do that with all their time, sleep on a couch, do all that personal time and energy into something that...
If he didn't believe in it.
So I think he believes in it, but the flip is, I think he's incredibly frustrated that it's how difficult politically it is, and I do think that makes sense.
Because
Trump
doesn't understand how Washington works.
But you have to convince other people to do it. It's not enough to do it. You got to get all these other people to do it.
Business guys, especially if you're the wealthiest person in the world, you're used to saying, this is what I want done, and people go and do it.
Yep.
That's not how government works. And so while I understand what you're saying is he was fighting for something good, well, he didn't take the time to do it the right way. Doing it the right way is going through the regular budget process and convincing the defense.
And by the way,
when did we
get away from the regular budget process?
From regular order.
Yeah, that was when Obama.
20 years
right.
Ago.
It was when Obama was president.
No,
and
like
people like
ago.
Paul Ryan tried to rein it in. Hang on, we're coming back with more on the Reardon and Rand.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, Jane Duker is on the panel as per usual. We have former State Senator Jeff Smith and the mayor of Eureka, Sean Flower, is with us this afternoon. Let me play one more bit of tape here before we continue the conversation about the divorce. This is Kim Strassel from The Wall Street Journal.
Let's hope that it can be. It definitely should be. I mean, just from a big picture, this individual, Elon Musk, and the Republican Party have been very good for each other. I think it's allowed Elon Musk getting into politics to really be a force for important basic principles like free speech. But here's a more important thing. Why did Americans vote for Donald Trump? They did because they like that he doesn't think like a normal politician, that he's outside that box. And Elon Musk, as a very capable, smart businessman, brought that kind of ethic in real life, in real time, to Washington with Doge. We saw that creativity. We saw some of his creativity of thinking out on the campaign trail when he was coming up with new ways to get Republicans elected. You want that dynamism in the party, working in government and advising the president, not going at each other.
You know, one of the things that I thought about yesterday was, you know, to a certain extent, this is kind of sad. And we've seen politics get ugly. It's a blood sport. But if you're trying to actually get things done and you're a Republican, now, one of the reasons I think that Elon is genuine on this, Jeff, is because if you looked at the craziness on his Twitter or his X page yesterday, he was retweeting a lot of things that Mike Johnson had said years ago, that John Thune had said years ago. And he would ask the question. In other words, they were chiming in 2018 and 2019 saying, look, we got to do something about the debt. We have to get control of this. And then Elon's response in his, you know, I'm going to still call it a tweet because that's what we all call it, was, hey, where did this guy go, right? Where is that guy? So that's why I genuinely do believe that he's interested in solving some of the fiscal insanity. Yeah, he doesn't get the process. He doesn't understand the process. Most people don't understand the process. The other criticism is, and he said this on the X, is, and look, let's be honest here, Republicans have criticized your party when there's this big bill that comes out and they say, you haven't even read it because it goes right to a vote. Well, that's what happened here with Republicans, right?
Absolutely.
And I mean, Donald Trump is playing the game now. And Elon is like, wait a minute, I thought we weren't going to play the game anymore. And I think I've seen a lot of Republicans saying, oh, my gosh, if Elon is gone, we're just going back to business. And I think that does cause problem for Republicans. I mean, the analog in Missouri is just the same. You have the group of people who are like, we shouldn't be spending a dime. And look at the big, beautiful bill in Missouri. It's the same problem.
Right, right. It's a microcosm of what happens at the federal level.
Yeah. So before I get to that, I got to rib you a little bit, Mark, because you just referred to it as the X, which recalled my 86-year-old dad referring to the Facebook. So
I know. Well,
you're getting
that's
there.
That's awesome.
You
know?
Yes,
yeah.
Thank you very much.
So, look, I think Elon's right to point out that hypocrisy in the Republican Party and the huge chasm between the rhetoric of, you know, we're going to balance the budget, we're going to get rid of the debt, what like Trump promised, and then the lack of action on it. Look, I'm not saying Democrats have been good on the issue, but Republicans haven't been much better and have actually been worse. You know, Bill Clinton was the last president to balance the budget.
That's right.
And I know.
You know, and George W. Bush cut taxes massively and continued
a lot of spending
and
on defense,
continued spending more money on Medicare Part D,
the Department of Homeland Security, all these things.
And so, you know, if you're going to cut taxes, be honest and cut the amount that you're actually planning to spend, and the place you can do that in the world of discretionary spending is defense.
Okay,
because that's where $900 billion.
By the way, I don't disagree with that, but there is a constitutional responsibility for defense. But Sean, here's the other thing about this: let me play Fetterman here because he's even being critical of the Democrats for kind of flipping now on Elon.
The dams we've been dumping all over Musk and vandalizing Teslas or whatever, and now we might be more back into him. It wasn't that long ago that Teslas was like the virtue signaling kind of accessory for dams. I would never want to vandalize Teslas, and now the big beautiful bill is wrong for America. And so from my perspective, it's like I've just tried to be consistent through that.
And he sometimes
good
is consistent, but what I love about that is that there were people that were all over X yesterday saying, yeah, now who's going to key my Tesla, right? Will it be someone on the right or left? But the other thing, and we haven't mentioned it one time in this conversation, it's a pretty important part of this. If they don't get something done, every single working American's taxes go up. Everyone who gets a paycheck, right? Elon Musk doesn't care because he's not paying taxes the rest of us. If you're getting a paycheck, though, the taxes are going up. You got their party who kept quiet about that last year and they weren't pressed on it in the presidential race. But that's just the bottom line right now, that they have to do something. So then people might say, let's just address that. Unfortunately, that's not how Washington works. But there's a big tax increase coming if they don't pass the big, beautiful bill.
Well, it's amazing how we avoid – it's all personalities, and we just always are drawn to talking about a fight between two guys as opposed to the policy and the impact on who's there. Budget numbers, defense is great, but everybody knows it's all the social entitlement program. It's Medicare. It's Social Security and all these things that have to get balanced out or you're never going to get anywhere. My personal feel is until you're actually close to crisis, there's not going to be enough will of the people to do anything.
That's what we do. Correct. We wait till crisis. So, that 9/11 is a perfect example of that.
But I do think one interesting part, though, is Jeff had said about maybe Musk being upset because he would lose his, he had all these personal things that he was going to lose that were his financial. And again, I think it cuts the other way. Because if you're totally relying on government for all these subsidies,
you're not rocking the boat.
Who's the last guy you accuse of being a pedophile? The guy in charge of the whole government. I mean, it shows a fearlessness and a principle, which I think, in a weird way, all right. I mean, I think it's great that there's people out there are raising the issue. They're bringing it up. If he's rude and does it, okay. But I mean, Trump can take it. And I think if anything, if he pushes everybody to really address serious issues and act on principle and actually, I mean, that's a good impact. Period. And he's doing it at risk.
Yeah, two quick things, kind of building on what Sean said. If you the big social programs, Medicare, Social Security, those are where the real money is in the budget. Okay, those two, defense and interest on the debt, are the four biggies.
Exactly.
Right, and not a lot of people realize that. You know, when you come in like Elon, you're like, I'm going to cut all the spending. That's like a quarter of the whole budget.
It's a dent. I've been trying,
by
the way.
You could shut down the federal government and not make an ounce of.
That's right. And we're still running deficits. Yes. So what the problem with right now, okay, Republicans have campaigned for a long time saying, we're going to get entitlement spending under control. But they're not doing it. And part of the reason they're not doing it is because they own all of the federal government right now. The only time that we've gotten an actual meaningful reform of Social Security was in 85. The Greenspan Commission divided government, where we raised the retirement age from 65 to 67, because you need both sides to have some skin in the game. Neither side will do
but
it all.
Think about how
they
long
won't
that
jump
was.
Alone.
A long ago. What one thing I haven't mentioned this either. What's anyone's opinion on where Josh Hawley is on this? Because I'm watching Fox News at home, and I don't know how many people are seeing these ads, but every break there's an ad with Hawley, saying, "Look, we're not going to have Medicaid cuts." and we're going to stick by you, especially as appealing to seniors. And Medicaid is a little different because it changed during Obamacare. It used to be only the program for younger people, Medicare for older people, but there's a lot of crossover now.
Well, he's fighting for CHIPS, which is the right thing to do. CHIPS is the best government program ever.
Is that a principled stand?
It is CHIPS is a very principled stand.
But on Hawley's part.
It's bipartisan.
I mean, I don't think it's a principle stand on Josh Hawley's part.
Well, that's my question.
I think he's positioning
himself
to differentiate himself from maybe J.D. Vance and run for president in 2028. But I want to be fair because I try to call it like I see it. I like that he's doing it.
I do, too.
And I appreciate that he's doing it. I thought he was an abomination on January 6th and leading up to it and after it.
He was.
But I think I appreciate what he's doing on Medicaid.
And so, I appreciate what he's doing on the North County,
on the
environmental.
Right. All right.
Totally
so
agree, Jim.
I want to play a soundbite that you guys might not have heard yet from someone who I think is definitely going to run for president. But I'm going to tie it in with something that just happened. So Marissa Rothenberger, a biological male, just single-handedly led Champlain Park, a high school in Minnesota, to a 6-0 shutout to win the Minnesota Girls State Championship. It's to me, it's just outrageous. But here's a guy, and I've been tracking him a little bit, Rahm Emanuel, right? He used to work with Obama. He used to be the mayor of Chicago. He's saying some things that are pretty interesting as a Democrat. Here you go. Malamy, play the right bite here. Here we go.
You guys have run this car straight into a wall. Sit down, shut up, and actually you have a moment to learn something. And stop telling people how to live their lives because you don't know squat. And nobody's had the balls to tell you that. But you can't be content just because your kids are okay. That's the responsibility you have if you're in public life that other kids, other families aren't. And so to me, I do think these Yeti drinking, hiking Aspen Institute punks should just shut up. Stop telling people how to live their lives and listen to the anguish. Now, the other reason, to the core question, why do Democrats have a problem? Because we're punks. And we talk like, not only talk like punks, we talk down to people, we get caught up in a set of issues that aren't relevant. Think about all this about transgender and sports, etc. There's hundreds of thousands of NCAA athletes, and there's 10 transgender athletes in sports. And that website, this is crazy. As I said, in education, we have the worst reading scores and math scores in 30 years. And we're arguing about bathrooms and locker rooms and not the classroom?
I thought that was very interesting. And
he
I've heard that's consistently what he's been saying recently. And he's definitely running for president, isn't he?
It sure seems like it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
he's making the rounds.
But, Jeff, I mean, his point is, you guys know this, and I don't know, I let Jane off the hook on a lot, and you not as much because you're more of a progressive, but you're a common sense person. You know that this stuff is 80-20 or 90-10, especially on the trans stuff, but some people in your party, they will refuse to walk away from it.
Well, you know,
absolutely.
You just praised what I think you perceive to be Elon's principled stance on something. There are Democrats that have a principled stance and just believe that it is wrong.
That boys are girls.
They don't believe that boys are girls. They believe that it's wrong for the state to come in and dictate something when high schools could come to, you know, in a certain conference could come to an agreement that, hey, this is how we're going to handle it here or in a certain area. They kind of want to, you know, leave it to local school districts, which is something that Republicans like to say for a long time. You know, best matters are best when they're handled locally. But your point is correct. That's talking about principle and policy. On the politics, of course you're right. It's an 80-20 issue.
Yeah.
And as long as the issue that we're talking about in national politics or in state politics is that, it's a losing issue for Democrats.
Absolutely. One more segment of the roundtable coming up. Hang in there.
The Reardon Roundtable on 97.1 FM Talk.
All right, welcome back. Jane Duker is here, Forest State Senator Jeff Smith, and the mayor of Eureka, Missouri, Sean Flower. I wanted to touch on something, Jane. You and I talked about it on Monday because we've been talking about Kara Spencer, and I think she's doing a pretty good job given the circumstances that she has been handed. We also give credit to the governor for coming in, actually showing up in St. Mm-hmm. Louis. But the former mayor and the former mayor's father, as you like to call him, Virus Jones, they're still showing their stripes, aren't they?
Oh, so here's a Facebook post. I ran into, and this is just a normal citizen.
Right.
I ran into Mayor Spencer yesterday. She looked beyond tired, and she carried the weight of problems that will be with us beyond her term. I truly hope she can guide St. Louis through this tragedy, and I also hope the governor gives the city the support it deserves. I mean, that's sort of a very normal post,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I think it is.
And this wasn't Kara talking. This wasn't the mayor talking. This was a citizen. So Virvis pipes in. And a virus pops in and says, I will give her the same grace she and her supporters gave my daughter regarding the ice storm. Oh, the sirens did work of March 14th.
Right.
2025.
And then Tish weighs in.
Then Tish weighs in. She wanted the job. Now she has it and all that comes with it. And it's just like, really? That's what they said.
Jeff,
I mean,
what do you say about that?
Pathetic.
I mean, should we just forget it, right? Because they're out there just being nasty. But come on.
Look, it's never a good look when you come into an office and all you're doing is trashing the person who just left the office in the way that, like, you know, Trump has blamed everything on Biden. Everything, and he actually said, everything bad that happens is Biden. Anything good that happens is because of me. That never looks good. Just the same way it never looks good when you lose and immediately start griping about the person who gets the office. You got to give him a chance. And for someone who, you know, I'm not sure what former Mayor Jones is going to do next. Doesn't appear that she's, I haven't heard of any, you know, job that she's
hey,
taken.
By the way, we are a little light on Democrats because Donna Behringer does not have as much time now. Maybe we should invite her into the roundtable. Jane, what do you think about that?
Oh, I would pay you $100 if you got her.
Oh my goodness.
But I would say, if you're looking for an employer in this region, a big company to maybe, you know, give you one of those great jobs in corporate affairs where you can go hand out the oversized checks or, you know,
yeah,
something
yeah,
like
yeah,
that,
yeah.
Which a lot of former politicians have gotten over the years. This is not the route to get something like that.
It's disgusting is what it is. Sean Flower, when you became mayor of Eureka, did you just start buying vehicles that are worth $80,000 and rolling around them? Because this Alfred Montgomery guy, who's
like
the sheriff,
talk about that.
I mean,
that's
yeah, you want to keep that quiet. But I mean, where do you even get your arms around this guy who has come in here? He's done some interesting things with firings. He's rolled the dice to get rid of one person.
Oh
he's
God.
Rolled
again,
a set of gold.
I do agree with some of the things he's doing. That's a great technique.
Rolling the dice?
I mean, we can't throw the baby out with the bathwater.
Well, that's true.
I mean, the more it comes out, the cooler the guy gets. I mean, you're like, he buys a trucks on his own, ignores Behringer, does it out of a secret slush fund. He fires people with dice. He's like an old West sheriff.
Takes his kids to school with somebody.
I mean,
but
I can't wait
here's
for the next story.
One thing that he did do, you know, and Sue Thomas isn't here today, but she asked this question. And Jane, you even told me last week, this is a serious question. Before the roundtable last week, and you showed me the list, you said he's hired like how many lobbyists, right?
Oh, nine.
Okay,
seven
so
or nine lobbyists.
Can someone explain? Because I don't. Why does the sheriff?
I'm totally against that. If one of
oh
them,
yeah
if
right
one of
as
them
a lobbyist,
me.
But
right.
why does
maybe
he need to hire
know.
One lobbyist outside of nine? Why?
Because it's a county job, and he wanted a bill that said that all of his deputies get to make at least $50,000. It was all just a money grab. That's all. He hired his lobbyists to try to get that.
But why do you have to hire
bill?
90 you sleazy lobbyists? That's my question.
I just don't get it. I mean, and now he's hired a new lawyer. He hired a former judge to be a lawyer.
But
another
he can
lawyer.
Do that, and there's very limitations that Don or anyone else can do about it because it's his budget and
well,
you'd have
to
wait.
Well, it's interesting because salaries, specifically by statute, have to be subject to appropriation by the Board of Aldermen. So him spending, you know, like a drunken sailor on salaries is not authorized by law. But
buying a vehicle that could be
$80,000
is.
You know, yeah, that he can, you know, go buy things. But, I mean, look, dude.
This is what drives people crazy, though.
This is, because he bought the car in January. It's been sitting in the city garage. I mean, Chris Hayes, God bless him, went to the city garage and got a picture of it, and he didn't tell the budget committee about this $50,000
car. So that's how it came out.
It came out because people, you know, heard about it, and he hasn't even paid poor Don Brown.
Jeff.
So he hasn't technically bought the car.
He technically has.
He's stolen the car.
In the wake of the 2024... defeat for Democrats, both in Missouri and nationally. I wrote a piece saying if Democrats are going to come back, both in Missouri, you know, and everywhere, the governance of blue cities, whether in red states or blue states, has got to be the focus. And the more Gabe Gores there are
yes.
that are just doing their job right. and not making a big deal out of it.
Right.
No drama, no chaos, just competence. And the fewer Alfred Montgomerys, the better shot Democrats will have of regaining
Amen.
Ground.
Well, even
in
with Kara,
and rural
one thing I said about Kara is that I don't think, you know, we had her on the roundtable one time. And the reason she never got invited back is she's not paying attention to the national issues. She's focusing on St. Louis. She doesn't want to go out there and do a news conference about whatever,
good.
Right? Yes. No, I'm saying absolutely. yeah. That is good. Jeff Smith, great to see you. Sean Flower, thanks for weighing in this afternoon. Great to see you. Jane, you're going to hang out, right?
Yes.
We're coming back.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.